Welcome to the Michael Nardi Podcast. Welcome. Question today is, how do you remain honest with yourself? This is a question that I've asked throughout my entire life, a question that I have at times avoided all my life. You know, it's so easy to point a finger. It's so easy for me to meet someone and pass judgment. The way they look, the way they talk, the way their children behave. And this part of me is not really me, it's just my mind analyzing, cataloging, wanting to be right so they're wrong, elevating my ego. But on the other hand, when I turn the finger back at myself, or someone turns it at me, it's an opportunity to change. I love change. And I love change because, you know, life can get pretty boring. I can get pretty stagnant. I can get pretty comfortable in my safe place to be. But when I choose a new practice, like this winter, cold showers, I'm forced to experience something that I've never experienced before, and I have the choice to revert to old behaviors or new behaviors, or find those reserves that were old behaviors and allow them to grow. See, when you step into the cold water, there's all this stuff before, but it never prepares you actually for being in the cold water. Before, I'm terrified, I'm scared, I'm feeling like I might even die, all this worry, and then I get in the shower, and then it's cold and I feel like I'm dying. And then I laugh and I scream and I shout. And then I practice this over and over again. And eventually, I don't prepare to go into the cold water. I'm not in the water and that's what I'm experiencing. Then I'm in the water and that's what I experience. And I love the change of being able to put myself in new situations and going from completely freaking out to at peace. And I can honestly say one of the best parts of taking a cold shower is not when I get out, which is, in the beginning, the best part, because I've accomplished something and I feel warm again. But one of the best parts is when the cold hits me and it takes me away from myself. And when I stop, calm myself, breathe, and find stillness. Really, if you can find stillness when you're uncomfortable, when can you not find stillness? My children have been the greatest teachers of this. I had spent so much time meditating and doing healing work where I found stillness on my own terms, but when it comes to kids, it's never your own terms. It's finally the first time where I felt I had no control of what was to come. And then when you find control in the ever-changing life that is parenting, you begin to realize that it's not about control, it's about letting go. This letting go becomes so powerful. To be honest with yourself, to be honest with myself, I should say, as I become honest with myself, what do I need to do? Why do I need to do it? What's the purpose? Well, the purpose is to change. And if I can surrender, if I can let go, if I can laugh at myself, if I can laugh at my situation, I have the opportunity to change it. But if I'm angry and I'm closed and my mantra misery is winning and controlling me and I'm identifying with my victim or my judge, there is nothing that can happen other than for it to escalate and create greater problems for myself. But in the face of real challenges, the gift of being still and patient and kind despite the external judgment, because I have absolved some of my internal judgments, not all of them. I really truly believe this process takes quite some time, and I'm glad I've begun. But I remain honest by building awareness, by taking the time to see myself. Yes, there's times I ask other people to see me, and I either react to it or I appreciate it. But what's really important, what I've found to be really a life changer, is when I start seeing it myself within my own life, within my moment-to-moment awareness. And yes, as you've heard before, I do this with mantra meditation. That's my tool of transformation. But it doesn't need to be anything specifically. It's more important than a tool of transformation is a witness that's willing to see the truth and acknowledge it. The truth can be so scary because the truth will kill our egos. The truth will kill my story of Michael that I hold on to that keeps me the way I am. But as I was just talking to a patient yesterday and he was sharing about death, and he was sharing about how he realizes he gets older and he's coming to the point that he's lived a full life, that it's about letting go. Although I'm probably half his age, I've had experiences working in hospice and losing my mother-in-law and my stepfather at young ages, and working with mothers who have lost their children before, during, and after, and sitting with devoted social workers and therapists who have lost dear friends they've gained through the time spent in hospice. The one common occurrence that I see is you either hold on too tightly or you let go and become free. If you hold on too tightly, there's nothing to see. You know that story. I know my story of holding on too tightly. I'm right, it's wrong. This happened, this is why I am the way that I am. It's an endless dialogue of self-judgment or judgment towards others. Either way, it's a closed place that I get. On the other hand, when I surrender, when I let go of my control and I'm just here, no matter how cold the water is, or no matter how afraid I am to kick up into the handstand, no matter how pointless or irrational it seems to take another trip to the pyramids or to India or to a meditation retreat, when I say yes to letting go of having an answer to why I do any of it, I become honest. And when I become honest, I let go of the parts of me that are not honest, the mask, as Jose Ruiz speaks of, this mask that I need to take off. Only I can take it off. Because the thing is, no matter how much someone tells you about you, if you can't see yourself, if I can't see Michael, better yet, what's beyond Michael, the eternal Michael, if I can't see that, there's no way that I can change. The irony is, when I'm closed, I'm so apt to be right. But my children, and I can honestly and fairly say this, have taught me one of the greatest gifts, and it's an apology, a sincere apology, being accountable for our mistakes that we make. When we're unkind, when we're impatient, when we use the power of our voice not to protect or inspire, but to destroy, to say we're sorry. When I say I'm sorry, when I'm accountable for my own mistakes, I feel that this is being honest. When I don't justify why I did something, I just apologize and straightforwardly own it. And this doesn't mean to be a pushover, because there's some times that you apologize, but even what you're apologizing for, you're not even being honest with. So I'm not claiming to be the nice guy, because I've done that, and all that does is create more self-judgment, more disdain, just hides in the closet to one day explode. But it's the honesty of an apology. It's the honesty of realizing I haven't been doing what I said I was going to do. If we are showing up and we're doing all we can, whatever that is, and sometimes that's a lot and sometimes that's a little, the self-judgments decrease. But if we're trying to shortchange a situation or we're trying to push something that isn't meant to be, this is where the judgment comes into place. So if I'm honest with myself, I'm doing my best. And if I'm doing my best, I can be honest with myself. To change, one has to be brave enough to look in the mirror and see the utter perfection of all that I am. Be brave is to see that what I'm identifying with and acting through reaction is not who I am. And when I let go of my identification with my mantra of misery and my story, and I open my heart, I am me. And this freedom is awesome. If I keep making the same mistake over and over again, and I can't see it, how can I change it? And if I'm frustrated about something, but I'm not willing to look at myself to find the answer, how can I change it? So to be honest with oneself, one has to be real, to get over the drama, to get over the story, to get over the hang-ups, and just be. Just be real with whatever's occurring. Just be authentic. See, real, authentic, honest, they're all the same truth. You don't have to defend truth. Miguel Ruiz states so clearly, truth is truth, that it will always be here. Love is real. When you have to fight that your love is better than someone else's love, that's fanaticism. It's all the same love. When a newborn child is held by its mother for the first time, that's the same no matter the race, the creed, the location of that baby. We share that. That's a human principle of love, awe, wonder, and presence. It doesn't need to be defended. There are no ugly babies. I challenge you to find the person who has a child, and when they're born, thinks anything other than what a beautiful being, what a gift, and doesn't feel anything other than immense gratitude. That's love. That's truth. And it can't be described, but what would life be without songs and poetry? So I challenge you to be honest with yourself and write some poetry, the poetry of you. Now, this doesn't have to be written on a pen and paper. You don't have to type it on your computer. It can happen when you walk out the door. All my love and gratitude. If you enjoyed this episode of the Michael Nardi Podcast, please subscribe, review, like, and share. All my love and gratitude. Have a beautiful day.